This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. This is The Morning Run with Keith Kam and I'm Wong Xiaoning. 7:36 Wednesday, the 17th of August. And in about 30 minutes after the 8 a.m. news bulletin is, of course, the breakfast grill, where in the hot seat this morning is Ishar Ismail. He's the acting CEO of the Johor Petroleum Development Corporation Berhad. I'm going to ask him some tough questions about whether this whole Johor, in terms of growing and becoming this regional oil and gas hub, is really taking off, considering that our neighbour Singapore is far, far advanced. So I think these are the hard questions I'm going to ask him. What's the next phase of growth? And at the same time, even though the government has spent a lot of money on these projects, there is the presence of Petronas there, there is the presence of Dialog. How has this actually really benefited the residents of the area? Are they included in this growth? So do tune in. That's all going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to U.S. companies because they are reporting results. And so far, they have beat or at least met street expectations this earnings season, surprising investors who have been bracing for a gloomier outlook on both businesses and the economy. So we're more than halfway into second quarter reporting period. S&P 500 company earnings are expected or estimated to have increased by 8.1% over the year-ago quarter.
And this compares with the 5.6% estimate at the start of July, according to IBS data from Refinitiv as of Tuesday. So while profit growth estimates for the rest of the year have come down, it remains fairly positive. According to Refinitiv as well, S&P 500 earnings for all of 2022 are now forecast to grow 8.1% versus a 9.5% estimate in July. Walmart, however, the bellwether of U.S. consumers, rattled investors early last week when it cut its full-year profit forecast, blaming surging prices for food and fuel. And this has raised worries about the health of the consumer and prospects for the U.S. economy overall.
So for some thoughts on how the U.S. earnings season has been going so far, we have on the line with us Dave Sakera. He's the Chief U.S. Market Strategist at Morningstar. Good morning, Dave. Now, we're almost, I would say, the tail end of corporate results season in the U.S. I mean, what were some of your key takeaways from the big sectors that we must pay attention to? Technology, for example, finance and consumer.
Good morning. You know, as you mentioned, so I'd just say generally, you know, second quarter earnings, you know, were certainly not as bad as what the market was prepared for. But more importantly, you know, while management teams were certainly cautious, you know, in their expectations and their outlook for the second half of the year, yeah, I would note that they didn't make wholesale cuts to their earnings guidance. And I think that gives investors, you know, a lot more comfort, you know, looking into the second half of the year. So looking at, you know, those three main areas that you mentioned, you know, technology, you know, of course, the results really vary depending on each individual subsector within the technology space. So a couple of, you know, areas that I know our analysts have highlighted was that, you know, PC demand was weak. The pandemic, you know, had provided a wave of upgrades in 2020 and 2021. So as we're up against, you know, those strong comps, you know, we didn't see as much PC demand as maybe some people had expected. You know, in the smartphone area, demand there was also weak, and our analytical team also thought that sales, especially in China, you know, were weak for smartphones, although we do note that Apple's iPhone business, you know, has certainly held up better. And then in the semiconductor space, especially more for general semiconductors, you know, those used for automobiles and industrial applications, you know, the demand there still far exceeds supply, and there's still definitely a global shortage. And we think it's going to take at least a few more quarters, you know, for companies like Texas Instruments, Microchip Technology, and XP Semiconductor to catch up to that demand. The bright spot in the technology area was probably in cloud computing, and that's where we saw spending, you know, still quite strong. Two companies that our teams have called out there would be Microsoft and Amazon, you know, two companies where we still think those stocks are undervalued. Probably the greatest takeaway in the finance sector was that, you know, we did see increases in loan loss reserves as banks are preparing for, you know, increases in defaults. But I'd say that we think that's really just an increase back more towards historically normalized levels. So we didn't see the buildup of reserves that indicate that the banks are really preparing for, you know, an onslaught of, you know, defaults.
Dave, President Joe Biden, he signed the Inflation Reduction Act into law that also imposes a 15% minimum tax on large corporations. Apart from that, there are also cost pressures, the strong US dollar. What do you think this will specifically do for you know, companies in general?
well, you know, probably the greatest beneficiaries of the Inflation Reduction Act are going to be specifically in the clean energy space. There's a couple of different companies that we have identified as being, you know, some of the bigger beneficiaries there, like Plug Power, Sun Power, you know, and First Solar. The lithium area is another space that I think, you know, has good long-term secular tailwinds behind it that this act will also help, you know, benefit that space. So companies like Albemarle and Livent, you know, would be a couple that we would highlight, you know, for investors as well.
What about the strong U.S. dollar, though, Dave? How painful is it going to be for U.S. consumers? For U.S. companies, because it was mentioned specifically by the likes of IBM, Netflix, Johnson & Johnson.
Well, from our view, you know, the stronger U.S. dollar, you know, has certainly been a headwind over the past couple of quarters. But really, it's going to affect those companies that have, you know, a high percentage of revenue denominated in foreign currency, but expenses in the U.S. dollar. So we really look at it being much more of a temporary factor, that it's a short-term headwind, but it typically won't have a significant impact on our long-term intrinsic valuations. You know, generally, we'll typically assume that, you know, foreign exchange will normalize over time. It will not continue to see, you know, such a rapid increase in the value of the U.S. dollar as we have.
And at the same time, it's hard not to notice, but markets have rallied more than 17% since June's lows. Is the worst over, or is this just a bear market rally?
You know, first I would just mention, you know, we always advocate long-term investing, you know, based on valuations as opposed to trying to trade or time the market. What I would note, though, is that, you know, in mid-June, you know, we had noted that the markets in the U.S. had become, you know, significantly undervalued. And in fact, you know, they kind of entered what we consider to be pretty rare territory as just how far undervalued that they had become at that point in time. And the only time we'd seen the markets get to be that undervalued was like at the beginning of the pandemic in March 2020, the growth scare at the end of 2018, and then you kind of have to go back to mid-2021 when we had the Greek debt crisis. So I think, you know, it gets back to, you know, we identified four main headwinds in our 2022 outlook, and that was the slowing rate of economic growth in the U.S., tightening monetary policy, high inflation, and our expectation for rising interest rates. And I think all four of those headwinds came to a convergence, you know, in June, which is really what had pushed, you know, the market down as much as it had gotten. You know, since then, we do think a number of these headwinds have started to abate. And I think as we've seen, you know, good economic numbers such as jobs coming out, you know, we start seeing a light at the end of the tunnel regarding monetary policy tightening. You know, that should be over by the end of this year. You know, inflation looks like it's peaked. It's starting to come back down. And interest rates, you know, the preponderance of the increase we think has already occurred. So we think that, you know, as those headwinds, you know, are starting to abate, you know, that gives some runway for the market to, you know, get back to where we think, you know, intrinsic value should be.
What does that mean for the Fed's hawkish views, especially, you know, inflation looks to have sort of cooled 8.5%, but way off the 2% Fed target?
Well, we think that, you know, the Fed will increase, you know, the federal funds rate at the next couple of meetings. But we do think that by the end of the year, they should be done with those increases. And so I think that with, you know, that headwind abating, you know, we should start seeing, you know, the markets being able to improve over the second half of the year. You know, right now, based on our valuation metrics, you know, we think the U.S. market's trading at about an 8% discount to a composite of those 700 stocks that we cover that trade on U.S. exchanges.
Okay, and then what investment strategy should we then adopt? What are you advocating? Because even bond market is suggesting that we are in a recession, though.
So, you know, first of all, I mean, your investment strategy has to be geared towards your own specific goals and risk tolerances. But within that strategy, I think investors, you know, do need to be able to, you know, overweight and underweight and change their allocations to specific investments, you know, when those investments diverge, you know, too much from their intrinsic value. So as I mentioned, you know, at this point, we do still continue to believe that the market in the U.S. is undervalued, albeit, you know, not nearly as undervalued as it was in mid-June. But, you know, when we break that market valuation down even further, you know, we think that value stocks are about 12% undervalued and growth stocks are about 10% undervalued, whereas those core or blend stocks are actually pretty close to fairly valued. So based on those valuations, I think a barbell portfolio being overweight value and growth and underweight those core and blend stocks, you know, would be a good place for investors today.
And do you have any top sector calls or top picks?
So right now, you know, across our sectors, communications is the most undervalued sector. It trades at about a 30% discount to our fair value. Two of the stocks I would highlight there, you know, one would be Meta Platforms. So Meta, I think, is probably one of our most differentiated calls in the marketplace today. We think that stock is trading at about half of what we think the long-term, you know, intrinsic value of that company is. We think the market right now is just being overly pessimistic regarding, you know, what the impact has been from Apple's data privacy measures. You know, we still think that Meta is going to have, you know, some of the strongest platforms for digital advertising over the long term. And then the other one would be Alphabet, the parent of Google. You know, that's somewhat the same story as Meta, in that we think the market is undervaluing the long-term growth potential of that company. Some of the other sectors I would highlight would be consumer cyclical. That's the next most undervalued, trading at an 11% discount to our fair value. Now, I think the cyclical sold off, you know, too much earlier this year, and especially this summer, as investors were overly concerned about the slowing economy. So in that sector, you know, we are looking for those companies that actually are going to be leveraged to spending on services to be in the best position to rebound over the second half of the year. So what we're seeing is that during the pandemic, a lot of consumer spending had shifted into goods as people are either unwilling or able to go out in public, and that services had languished behind. With the pandemic in the US receding, you know, we expect that to shift back. And so I'd be looking for, you know, companies like, you know, Delta Airlines. That's probably the airline we think is best leveraged to the return of the business traveler. You know, other sectors like the hotel sector, I would highlight Hyatt as one that we think is undervalued. And you know, a couple of other areas like ride sharing, Uber would be another one that we think would be interesting for investors to take a look at today.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That was David Sequeira, Chief Market U.S. Market Strategist at Morningstar, giving us his views on where the S&P 500, Dow and Nasdaq are heading. And he gave us some interesting names to consider. Meta is one of them. He says it's half the fair value. Alphabet is another one. He also likes some of the consumer cyclical names, which he thinks has been oversold, including the likes of Delta, Uber, and Hyatt.
He also mentioned solar energy company SunPower, following Joe Biden's signing into law the latest climate bill. But I think the caveat here is that whatever you invest in, make sure it's long term.
Well, and you also need to know the fundamentals, right? Because he did highlight in terms of an investment strategy to always maintain this barbell strategy. But he does mention a few things. What was interesting is that when you look at value stocks, currently they're 12% discount to, of course, markets. And so growth is looking at a 10% discount. So I think there are investment opportunities out there, just that you need to know what to pick and also adjust it for your own risk appetite. Mm-hmm. I think that's very critical. Up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Nongsari A. Ruddy on lessons learned from the LCS scandal. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.